Yeah, we're here. I didn't get the hat on this time, but you can imagine it, right? Okay. All right. one more time for the transformation. Here we go. Yeah. There's your lead pastor about to give the sermon. Some people have told me I should like actually grow this out, but I don't think No, right? It's fun for the series, but that's about it. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Church on the Rock. Woo! Woo! Oh, man. It is nothing else like being back to worship together alive, and it is good. As I've had some people say, yeah, I'm going to come out to worship again. And then they said, I forgot. I just forgot how good it is to be with people. I forgot how good it is to sing again in all a gathered form. So great. And I think some of you might know, next week they're allowing us to double the number of people we have in this room. So I know some of you online, and welcome to all you who are online. I know some of you have been signing up, and we're full. We've been full these last 2 weeks, and so you haven't been able to get here. But next week, we have twice as many spaces. I believe it's over 100 people we'll be able to have in this room. So if you want to, remember, sign on and come and experience our worship live. So this is our last in a series on prayer, our last one on our series on prayer. And so I want you to think about this. Think about this at home right here. Here we go. What have you prayed about already today? What have you prayed about already today? Okay, think about that. All right? Is it, okay, God, you got to get the kids ready and get them here, all right? Or else, God, help me not to kill my kids. Like one of those two, right? One of those two, or man, always something happens on Sunday mornings, right? Sunday mornings, it's like, I meant to do this and this, and it just always gets right. So, what have you prayed about today? What have you prayed? I remember prayer became very important to me when I was in high school because somebody shared a verse with me. I wasn't really into the Bible early on in high school, and somebody shared this verse, and this is, God will bring back to your mind the things that he's taught you. Which is awesome. God's going to bring back to your minds the things he's taught you. Now, it's meant in the context when you're standing before somebody and you have to actually talk about your faith. But back then, it was like, awesome. I read the book once and God's going to help me get an A on my test. I'm praying big over this one. So whatever you prayed about today, I am glad. I'm glad that we are a praying people here at Church on the Rock. We pray first. God is a very present help in times of trouble. But this whole series is about praying for more than that, more than just help me prayers. There is so much more that we have in our lives. Just imagine if you were in a relationship with someone and they only asked you to give things. Hey, can you get me this? Sure, I love to. Hey, can you get me this? Sure, I would love to. Can you get this? Yeah. Do you ask anything? Can we talk about something else? Sure, as long as you give me this. All of a sudden, it would get really old in a relationship if all you did was ask for things. And then what happens when you ask and they said, well, no, I can't do it this time. How would you feel? And then go, hold on, I thought this was like a machine. I put the quarter in and the pop doesn't come out, so I kicked the machine. So no, this is about a living relationship. And so we set sail on the adventure of prayers, these dangerous prayers. We start off with the prayer, make me bold. Make me bold. Can we all say that at church? Ready? One, two, three. Make me bold. And as we pray that God make me bold, he stirs in us to be 10% more friendly out there. Even though you have to stay a little bit far away from people, you still want to go and be friendly. Make me bold. I will actually use the J word, the Jesus word. And so people just don't think I'm a nice guy, but they'll know that Jesus is being nice through me. That I might actually stop and pray with somebody. Because God, I've asked God, come and make me bold. The next prayer we're asking, God, change my heart. Could you change my heart? And if we don't get this, I think you don't get what the Jesus life is all about. If you don't get this prayer, then this is basically a religion where you're trying to be good to please God. And that has nothing to do with what we do. God, can I just tell you, God loves you now, and he will not love you more no matter what you do. He loves you as much as he ever will right now at this moment. It's not about us trying to earn or be better. But it's such a thing because of his great gift. Because of his great gift, we want to follow in his holiness. And so change my heart, God. And he starts to give us the desires. He starts to give us the power to do that. Make me patient today. Give me a loving heart for the people around me. Give me peace. God, I'm going to choose your joy in the midst of an environment that's so full of depression. Search my heart, God. Search my heart was the next prayer that we prayed. And God, we often think we're okay, we're good. We give ourselves a lot of grace sometimes. But often other people don't realize. Other people say, wow, did you know that person? They're like this, this, and this, and they don't even know it. Because of that, we all need to go and say, God, search my heart. And last week we talked about send me. I will do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything you ask me to do. Just send me, God. And if he says, could you cut the grass? Anywhere, God, I will say, go anywhere. But can you actually, like, cut the grass? Or maybe, you know, could you pray with your child? Maybe these are the earth-shattering things that God wants us to do as we pray. Well, we got one more prayer. One more prayer for our adventure of prayer. Then we're into our summer series. This is the last prayer. And I just want to sort of think about it as ramping up our intimate relationship with God. There's levels of adventures, levels of adventure. This is summertime, and I remember growing up camping with my mom and dad, a big canvas tent. Probably nobody actually knows what a canvas tent is like. some people do, and you know, it was heavier as anything else to carry around. My dad built basically a pantry made of plywood on the roof of the car, slid it off, and we put it against the tree, opened up and all the canned food. Not exactly interior backpacking, right? But we had, and it was awesome. It was great. And then I've learned, hold on, there's a whole other side of adventure of camping. And that's where I love to go into the interior and just paddle and be alone in nature. And I'm going to do that in a couple weeks. In a couple weeks, I'm going to go and do that. And that is not actually a vacation for me. That's a work week where I get together and I say, get together, God, okay, what do you want us to do this next week? And I listen and I journal and I pray and I memorize and I get up again and I pace and I walk and I pray for you. And so I get a week away where I just, it's a study week, almost taking the spring ready to get ready for the fall. And that is a little bit different than car camping where you have everything on your back. And then there's another level of camping. I've been sort of reading through a book by Adam Schultz. He's a Canadian. Actually, he got his PhD from Mac University. But he is one of the last adventurers where he is mapping some rivers that have never been mapped before in Canada's north. And I'm reading this story where he canoed across the Arctic, all right, through the tundra, and like talking about no washrooms, of course. Everything's on his back. That's all the things he has. He had this one video of the bugs, the constant bugs, and you see this blackness around him like that, and that was just like, that's just bugs in the Arctic. And I'm going, okay, I haven't experienced that level of camping, right? And I don't want to experience that level of camping. There's sort of levels of adventures, I believe there's levels of adventures in our relationship with God. We start off, I'm a child of the King. I get to become a Christian. I am a Christian. I have my name written in heaven. I get to go to heaven. This is amazing. I get a new family. This is wonderful. And as you grow in him, you start to realize, hold on, my heart moves when we worship. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit starting to stir in you. And all of a sudden, you get some ideas. It might be through a sermon. It might be through your devotions. And all of a sudden, you go, hold on, God is real. He's speaking to me. And then finally, I believe there's even more. There's a deeper relationship we have with God where we can ask him. where we ask him, God, could you speak to me on this? Could you tell me how to pray? Could you tell me who I should speak to? And all of a sudden, there is this two-way communication that happens. And this is what eternal life is. John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. It's like this knowledge of walking with God as a person. As a person, we can be still and know he's God. We can draw near to him and he can draw near to us. It takes our initiative, but guess what? God responds to that. And this is what our next prayer is. Our next prayer sort of comes from this deep stirring in our hearts to say, I love him. I love God so more. I want more. And the Psalms are filled with this. One of my favorite Psalms, and I know it's many of yours too, is Psalm 42. Says, as a deer pants for streams of water, as a deer pants for streams of water. And I remember being in Israel, and they're telling us about this, how this is. Out in the wilderness, these streams of water are actually called wadis. They're dry ditches. And basically, if something rains, the ground is so hard-packed that the water just rushes through. It doesn't sort of soak into the ground. And so they'll have either no water or floods. And so some people will die in a flood in the desert, which is kind of weird to think about. But you can just imagine a deer lost in the desert, panting. It is dying for some water somewhere. As a deer pants for streams of water. Oh, I need this. I need this. So my soul pants for you, my God. If you've ever felt that, this is the prayer for you. If you've ever said, oh God, I need you. I just want more of you. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. This isn't about religion. This is about relationship. This is a living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Where can I go? Just tell me what to do. I want to meet with you. And so we're going to come to our last prayer in the adventure of prayer. And we're going to look at the scriptures, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to dig into the young man named Samuel. Samuel was one of those children that sort of prayed into. I know some here, some at home, you would love to have a child. Or you would love to have your second child, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you for that. And I know some of you just pray for a child, pray for a child. And Samuel is one of these people that just have been prayed for again and again. And he came along, and he was then given to the priest. And there at the priest, they basically lived near the tabernacle or in the tabernacle. This is like a temple, it's a tent. Basically, it's a big tent with curtains. And so they lived basically in the tent of the tabernacle. In there, it says there's golden lampstands. And one of the things that the priests had to do, they had to light the golden lampstands, make sure there's enough olive oil in there that they would burn through the night. Basically, in the dead of night, there needed to be light shining. That's going to be important. In the dead of night, there needed to be light shining. And it says this. It says this. While the candles or the lampstands were still on or still turned on, in other words, in the dead of night, the word of God came to Samuel, and he said, Samuel, Samuel. And, of course, Samuel didn't know what that was like, and so he gets up and goes over to Eli and says, did you call? And Eli says, no, just go back to sleep. And it must be a dream. So he goes, Samuel, Samuel. This happens three times. And finally, what happens is this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, now go and lie down. And when he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling out as other times. Isn't it awesome that God is patient? God is patient. He'll keep on calling. He'll keep on calling. He'll keep on saying, okay, you're not hearing me. I'm going to call again. Okay, you're still not getting it. He doesn't go, okay, forget you. No, I'm going to call again. So he does this three times. So the fourth time, he goes, go there and lie, and he'll speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Lord came and stood there calling out as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At this point, Samuel is in about grade 4 or 5, okay? Can you picture somebody in grade 4 or 5, all right? Is anybody here in grade 4 or 5? No, okay, all right. Oh, yeah, all right, okay. So okay, we got an example right here, all right? We got somebody in grade 5? Grade 5, okay, we got a grade. Do you mind just sort of standing up and waving to people? Yeah, all right, yeah, woo! All right, thank you very much, sir. All right, good man. All right, so we got somebody in grade 5, okay? So this is Samuel. This is what Samuel's like, all right? This is awesome, thanks, man. So God of the universe decides out of everybody in Israel, out of everybody that's so important to the least, he picks out somebody in grade 5. And he's going to speak to him. And this is really interesting because in the dead of night, it was very symbolic because in the dead of night of Israel's history, this is in the time of Judges where things were just stupid. You read the Bible, you read the book of Judges and you go, that's stupid. And it ends with the most stupidest story probably in the whole Bible. You go, that's horrible. This is just a horrible time. In the darkest time of Israel, the light was still shining. God had not left. God was still doing something. And we call this, God always has a remnant wherever he is. He always has a remnant of people that shine the light. It's interesting in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, it says local churches are lampstands, and they shine light in the middle of dark places. And so I believe God has lampstands, his local churches, shining out light in dark, dark communities. And so when the light was still on, God still spoke, and he spoke to Samuel, and he was asked to pray one prayer, and this is it. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Can we all say that? All right? 1, 2, 3. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Simple prayer. Amazing prayer. Sometimes life-changing prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God has spoken to me many times. And my heart just desires this closeness. And the more I hear from God, the more I want to hear from him. It's not like, okay, I've heard from God, that's great. It makes me even more thirsty for him as I want him more. But so many people just don't get it or afraid of it or don't actually take listening to God seriously. Why is that? Why do we think that we shouldn't hear God? Let me give you three wrong expectations that sort of set us up for not hearing God. Wrong expectation number one, we expect the audible voice of God. We expect Morgan Freeman, right? Morgan Freeman, speaking in King James English, going, I can't do it, right? Thou shalt. Yeah, I don't know how, but it would just be amazing. We expect his voice to come out of the air somehow. And God does speak audibly through the New Testament, through the Old Testament, but we're tempted to think that's the only way. You know that sometimes you get tempted to do things that are bad, right? Can we just admit that? Every Christian does, all right? If you're on the way to God, you get tempted too, right? You get some idea out of the blue, you go, what was that? Why did that come in there, right? If you don't, you know, stand at the edge of Niagara Falls, right? You're standing there and you go, wow, what would it be like to jump over? It's stupid, right? Why does that idea come in your head? You wouldn't do it, but you go, wow, that would be wild. Anyway, sometimes we get these weird ideas, and we know we get tempted by a thought. If we can get tempted by a thought, and yet we think that God's not powerful enough to put a thought in our mind. It's interesting. I've never heard the audible voice of God, yet I've heard him again and again. And there's good examples of people where God has spoken to them in the Bible without the audible voice. For instance, Nehemiah heard God this way all the time, it seemed like. Nehemiah 2:12. And Nehemiah says, I was set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anybody what my God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem. Hold on. I had not told anyone what God, my God, had put in my heart. God just put it in his heart. He just, I just put this in your heart. Is that God speaking? Yeah, that's God speaking. Nehemiah 7:5 says this, so God put it into my heart to assemble the nobles and the officials and the common people for the registrations of family. So it was like he was working on it. He got this idea. I should do this. So God just put it in his heart. And so many times, we have to realize that, I don't hear God. I don't hear Morgan Freeman. No, it is about maybe that still small voice. When Elijah was hiding out in the cliffs, God says, I'm going to pass by. He says, okay. And then he gets ready for God to pass by. And there was a wind that came so much, it shattered rocks. It just tore rocks from off the mountain and shattered them in front. It was just like power, like you wouldn't believe. But God was not there. There was an earthquake, and the whole cave was shaking back and forth. And if you've ever been in an earthquake, I've been in a couple, it's just like, wow, that is so weird. The whole ground shakes underneath you. But God was not in the earthquake. And then fire. I'm not sure where the fire came, whether it was just supernatural fire, the force set on fire. Somehow there's fire everywhere. And then after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that was God's voice. We go, okay, that was that one time. But you know what? He did that to teach Elijah something. Elijah heard some pretty cool things, and he'd seen God work in power. But I think God was showing him that it's not always about the show. It's not always about the big show, Elijah. Sometimes I just come in the quiet whisper. So most often, I think those thoughts of goodness that come to our mind, pay attention to the thoughts of goodness that come to your mind, because God often will just whisper and break them in there. That's why I encourage you to write as you do listening prayer. It's not magical. I'm just getting you to collect some of your thoughts down. As you write them down, just collect some of your thoughts, because they sometimes seem so fleeting. James chapter 1, the book of James, talks about asking for wisdom, and God promises he'll give you that wisdom. Ask for wisdom, and he will give you that wisdom. Don't doubt about it. Just ask and know he's going to give you that wisdom. And then all of a sudden we ask, well, how do you know? How do you know it's God's wisdom, right? I got this idea, but I don't know if it's from God or if it's from me, right? Right? James chapter 3, just over a couple chapters, it says this. Chapter 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. Oh, okay, cool. What's the wisdom that comes from heaven? All right, because I've asked for wisdom, and I'm not sure I'm hearing it right. Wisdom comes from heaven, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. You have a thought? That's of just purity, of peace loving. Can we just, instead of ratcheting up the situation, could we just let peace rule here in this whole thing? Consider it to others. Oh, yeah, you know what they did. Okay, thanks, God. Yeah, I'm going to be considerate of others. Submissive. But who are you? Oh, yeah, you're in charge. Yeah. Who? Oh, yeah, you are the one in charge. Submissive. Full of mercy and good fruit. Impartial. And sincere. The wisdom, the thoughts that come up to your mind that just God drops in there, pay attention to those thoughts of goodness. Wrong expectation number two is that we listen to God only for direction. God does give us direction, but whenever I hold a Hearing God seminar, people are there excited. Okay, what do we do next? What's the next job? What's the next move? Okay, what's God going to do next? Who's my boyfriend going to be? Is it that guy? You know, could you like come in with a lightning bolt to him so he can actually notice me? You know, these kind of things, right? God, can you do what's next? What's next? And God does show directional prayer. He does direct us. But be ready to listen to what God wants to talk about. So many of the people I'm talking to about hearing God, they said, well, I'm asking about this. And then he just keeps on telling me he loves me. That's what he wants to talk to you about. But this is really important. And God's ideas aren't? Okay. It's about him and me and our relationship. Be ready to listen to God, what he's talking about. Can I show you what he might like to talk about? This is one of my favorite verses. I've memorized it, but I'm not going to try to do this. Have you ever done that? Actually memorize something and you get in front of people and you can't do it? This is it right here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. May you have the power to understand as all God's people should. That's a should, not a could. But all God's people should. May you have the power to understand as all God's people should. Here we go. Picture a ship. Picture a big cruise ship. This is the best way for me to picture, all right? How wide? How long? How high? How deep his love is. And then, just so you know, it's not about knowledge. He says this. May you experience the love of Christ. God wants you to experience his love. Though it is too great to understand fully. Okay. Thank you, Paul. I need to get God's love, and I need to experience it. But then he goes on and says this. Then you'll be made complete. Hold on. I thought if I got all the right, yes, good doctrine is right to get, that you need that. And all kinds of other things you need to get good knowledge. But that's not it. To be made complete is what? That you get God's love and you live in it. And no wonder God wants to talk to you about his love all the time. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And so when I get to God, I say, God, what do you want to talk to me about? And often I hear this. Well done, Dave. And you know, sometimes I just need to hear that. I love you with an everlasting love. Rest. You've done enough. Come away with me. Don't be discouraged. I have a plan. I have a future. I have not been unplugged. And so, I let go and start to experience the love of God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Wrong expectation number 3, that only the super spiritual hear God. Only the super spiritual hear God. I know there's 2 ditches every road. Every road has 2 ditches, right? You got to stay out of both ditches. In one ditch, sometimes the anti-charismatics say you can only hear God through the Bible. You can only hear God through the Bible. And I get you, the best way to hear God is through the Bible. It just really is. But you know what? You just realize that that's actually not biblical. Because the people in the New Testament were not spoken only but through people in the Old Testament. God continues to speak to us. And often it's a fear. It's just a fear. And I love one speaker that says this. Don't be so afraid of the mystical that you miss the biblical. But on the other ditch is the hyper-charismatics, the super-spiritual one, that God only speaks to them, and only the super-spiritual ones. And so you want to get around the super-spiritual ones because they will give you the messages from God because they're really good. And you peons can't, like, actually hear God. I had one man tell me, God told me that I'm special and that God speaks only specially to me like no one else. And all I could hear in the back of my mind, there's no favoritism with God, right? I think that's biblical. There's no favoritism to God. He doesn't have favorites. In fact, it says in Romans 8:14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Are you a child of God? He's going to lead you. Are you a child of God? Sheep follow him because they know his voice. John chapter 10, sheep follow him. And I'm just reminded again and again how stupid sheep are. They're just bad. I saw a TikTok of this sheep rancher, and he says, that sheep fell over, and it can't get up, and, you know, it's got its little pencil legs in the air. And so he says, now you got to be really careful about getting sheep up because the gases move, in the wrong place. And so he turned the sheep up and went, boom, fell over again. And he says, no, you got to sort it there, and to massage the gas out of it and go, oh, I'm glad I'm not a sheep farmer. That's just gross, right? And then and I got thinking, they're so stupid. Really stupid. Guess what? Are you a sheep? You hear his voice. You hear his voice. Guess what? God, hearing God is the birthright of every child of the King. So speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I want us to be able to pray that prayer. So position yourself to listen. There's a lot of things that we can do that we talk about. Sometimes we just write down your ideas. If you have all kinds of other ideas, just write them down. We do STAR. STAR, just stop what you're thinking about, take a breath, and appreciate God for a while. God, I love you for this. I love you for that. I just heard somebody online who just regulates their breathing, and he breathes in and said, God, fill me with your spirit. God, I confess any sin I have. Fill me with your spirit. God, I confess any sin. Who do you want me to pray for, God? And he listens. Imagine what it would be like if before every church service you prayed, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Guess what? You'd learn a lot more. I would seem smarter. I would seem a lot smarter. And you'd go, Dave, wow, your sermon was amazing. So please pray that, okay? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Could you imagine if you prayed that before every service? Could you imagine if you prayed that every time before you opened the Bible? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. All of a sudden, the Bible would come alive, and you go, wow, I get so much more out of this. This is awesome. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How about if this, before you pray for somebody, that's the first prayer you pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Somebody, hey, you know, would you mind praying for me? And you know, because you're at Church on the Rock, we pray first, so we don't go away. We pray right away. And often I'll do this. I'll go, would you mind praying for, I will pray for you. I'm going to be quiet a little bit. I just need to listen. And so I go, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I pray for what comes to mind. Can you imagine getting alone with your notebook? I know that so many of you have been taught this. I know you have. But you just haven't done it for a while. What would it be like even this afternoon to get alone with your notebook? Say, Spirit of God, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. There's nothing more in my heart than I have for this church to know God intimately. To experience the love of God. We are doing a whole exercise as staff and the vision team. We're trying to ask the question, what's the vision that God has given us? We know our mission, we need to reach and transform. But what's our vision that God has given us? And so far, we've landed on this to see thousands of young people, young adults and young families, to experience the adventure of a thriving relationship with Jesus. That's it. At the end of the day, we want all kinds of people to experience a thriving relationship with Jesus. Because guess what? That means people are going to be reached. People are going to be transformed. They're going to be given mission. If you just know Jesus, as my good friend Casey says, it's about Jesus. Amen. Just know him. Have that thriving relationship with him. That's the dream. The building that we're putting up pictures of, that's awesome, isn't it, by the way? It's really cool. Just wait until you walk in that place. Can I just say it's not about the building, though? The building's just a power tool to be able to reach more people so they can have a thriving relationship with Jesus. I love our worship team. Can I just say how much I love our worship? I know many of you, yeah. Many of you come here, and you should be coming here to come and gathered worship. You know what? It's not about the worship. It's about a thriving relationship with Jesus. And if the worship helps that, that's awesome. If the building helps that, that's awesome. Whatever helps that, because it's about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. So come on up, worship team. Come on up. So imagine this summer, if in your relationship with Jesus, you could pray these prayers. And let's pray them now, okay? Could we pray them now? Bow your head, close your eyes, just let's pray. Here we go. Make me bold. Oh, Jesus, make me bold. There's a lost and dying world out there that needs you, so make me bold. Oh, Jesus, change my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any anxious thoughts in there. And just change my heart, God. I want to be more like you, Jesus, and I can't do it on my own. Change my heart. Search my heart, O Lord. Search my heart. I don't want there to be anything between us. I love you so much. I don't want there to be any sliver of anything between you and me. So search my heart, O Lord. God, send me. You've got something for me to do on this planet. So God, send me. And Father, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I want to hear what you want to talk about. And all of God's people said, Amen.